Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you this morning. I'd like to talk this morning a little bit about the importance of spiritual leadership and the need for spiritual leadership. I think it's interesting when we look at the church, the way that Jesus designed the church and established the church, that he provided for a very simple way of the organization and leadership of the church. And there is not a huge complex power structure or hierarchy built within the church where one man is ruling over the church, as we see in the Catholic Pope or the President of the Church of Latter-day Saints and some of the other organizations where there is a denominational structure and conventional body that makes decisions. God instead provided for in the local congregation for there to be men who are have spiritual qualifications as elders and deacons, and a very simple way of leadership of his church. We find that stated in the New Testament in very clear ways that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as Gary read this morning, those qualifications are made clear of what a man must have in order, if he desires to the office of a bishop or the position of a bishop, which is a good work, he says, but there are spiritual qualifications that the man must meet in order for him to be selected and him to be placed into that position along with other men. Those qualifications are necessary, and he must be a man who is one wife, and he has good godly character. He has his children in subjection, and he is not a novice. He is a man that has been a Christian for some time and has a good reputation even with people who are outside. And he's able to teach. He is self-controlled. Many wonderful qualities that a person is expected to have. And as he rules, we are told in 1 Peter chapter 5, that an elder does not rule as a lording it over, but by his example, that is the way of leadership that God instructs us to have. So it is not a method of leadership that is a ruling over. It is leading by example. And through the life that a person lives, they are able to exercise leadership and influence to help people, guide them and lead them in the direction that God would have them to follow in their life. Whenever we look at the book of Philippians in chapter 1, we find a simple statement of this is given there in the first verse of the book of Philippians. When he said, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So there we have it. We have God's way of organization within the local congregation, within the local assembly of brothers and sisters meeting together, that there are bishops and deacons. And that's it. There's not a huge complex organization that God intends or authorizes for his people to have. So we follow that and strive to follow that in the church here. We try to pattern all that we do, really, according to the teaching of Scripture in the New Testament. And when we think about that, what is spiritual leadership and why is it so important? We understand that leadership really is the ability to lead others through your example and through your wisdom and knowledge that a person have. The ability to lead others from where they are to where God wants them to be. And that is such an important thing that God provides for men and leadership within the local congregation who are able to live a life that way. So that as God changes our life, the life that a godly man leads within the church, others come to have a respect for that, and his leadership, people are willing to follow. There is that influence that is exercised in developing a life that will result in the ability to lead spiritually other believers, other brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's based on the understanding of God's will, the knowledge of God's will, but in a way that, first of all, it's put into that person's life. That person themselves sees that God's will operates and changes, and there is an influence and power that comes from living a godly life, living according to the will of God. So that now that person is in a position through his own life to know how God would have others to go and lead them. The spiritual leadership then comes about through that knowledge and that understanding put into their own life and their example that others are willing to follow. So it is based upon servanthood, the principle of spiritual leadership that Jesus teaches himself when in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus talked with his apostles about how the leadership would be within his followers, within his disciples. And he says there in Matthew chapter 20, and in verse 24, he said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus himself, in John chapter 13, on the night of his arrest and betrayal, he took and washed the feet of the disciples. He took a towel. He rose from the table. John chapter 13. And in that, Jesus was demonstrating that quality of being a servant in his own life. And he was teaching them by that example to follow that pattern in the leadership that they would have as apostles. He went on to talk about to love one another was such a key and an important basis of this type of leadership. So when we think about spiritual leadership, it is really a God-given ability. It is a God-given skill that a person develops in their life by living the life of a Christian. By being a disciple of Jesus, a person comes to have the quality of life that enables them to become a leader in a spiritual way to help others live their life so that they are following the will of God. We're told in Romans chapter 12, for example, he says that we have gifts that differ according to the grace that is given. Let us use them. And so he talks about he who exhorts, use that in exhortation. He who gives, do that with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. So it really is a gift that God gives to a person through their faithful life to develop and have the ability of influence and leadership. And that is what spiritual leadership is that when one person is leading others, there are people who are willing to follow. There is no leadership, really, if no one is willing to follow. But it all depends upon a man's life and character and wisdom that they have gained by following Jesus themselves. So I'd like for us to think this morning about the importance of spiritual leaders in the church, how much they are needed, and also in the home. In the home, the importance of leadership, spiritual leadership. When we look at the church, we find that God uses three different terms to describe the elders, the bishops, and the pastors. Those three terms are used in the New Testament really interchangeably to describe one in the same office. So sometimes we read that the Scripture speaks of elders, and that is the word presbyteros in the Greek language, but it refers to the age of the men. An elder is an older man. He is in age older. But that implies the experience, the knowledge, the wisdom, the character that he has gained. And then the word bishops is also used in some passages. And that word is from the word episkopos, but it means an overseer. It comes from the word to scope, like a telescope, something that you look through. So a bishop is an overseer. He is in a position of leadership that way. And then the word pastors is used on several verses of Scripture. That is the word poimen, and that really is the word for shepherd. And it can be used as a noun or a verb. To feed is the work of being an elder or a shepherd. Now, we notice that these terms, when they are used in the Bible, are used in the plural. We don't find them used that there is an elder appointed as a single person or a single position. There is always a plurality in God's plan, because whenever the Scripture talks about this, we find that there is a plurality of men that were included in that. For example, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, Paul and Barnabas, they were on the first journey, and they were traveling through Asia Minor, and Paul was stoned in one of these cities, in the city of Lystra. He was left for dead. But he arose and continued on. And it says, as he went back through those cities where he had established the churches, in verse 22 and 23, he said, the strengthening the souls of the disciples. So when they had appointed elders in every church, notice it says elders, plural, and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And in the same way, when we read there in Philippians, the church of God in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, there's a plurality of that. Also in Titus 1 and verse 5, he said to set in order the things that were lacking and ordain elders in every church. I believe that God showed a lot of wisdom by creating an organization within the church, very simple, and yet there is a character there that protects the members of the congregation. And that is the purpose of leadership, to provide leadership, to help the church be protected against anything that might harm them spiritually. We're told in Titus chapter 1, for example, when he is discussing the qualifications here of leaders and elders within the church, he says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Well, spiritual leadership then is very needful in the church, and God has provided how men are to be qualified, how they are to be chosen, and the work that they are to do is spiritual in nature. We, as we think about the importance of the work that elders do, I would point out also in Hebrews chapter 13 of Hebrews and verse 17 how important the work of elders is when he says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Now, when it says the word rule over you, and the footnote points out that that word really means lead. They lead over you. It's not an authoritarian type of rule, once again, that they exercise. It is through their wisdom and through their knowledge and their example that they lead. But he's pointing out the fact that they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Elders must give account for the work that we do, because we are involved in the work of watching over the souls of those who are within the flock. Now, I want to also talk a moment here about the importance of spiritual leadership in the pulpit, of the work of the preacher and the evangelist. Because that is an awesome responsibility that God gives to a person who proclaims and preaches the Word of God. We're told in James chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Now, I believe that the point that he is making here is that when a person goes into the pulpit and to preach the Word of God, God is looking at that person's life, that they will be examined by God to live a godly life, but also the work, the preaching of the Word of God. That if a preacher is not teaching the truth of God's Word, they will give an account for that to God as well. So it is a very serious responsibility to be an elder, but also to be a preacher of the gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul, in writing to Timothy here, a young evangelist, and he talks to him earlier in the chapter, warning him about some of the false teaching that was coming. He said in verse 6, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed." But in verse 16, he says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So we notice he says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine." Doing these two things, you will save yourself and those who hear you. So it is not enough for a preacher to live a godly life. Also, the doctrinal, the teaching of God's Word is very vital and important, that you be teaching the truth. Otherwise, you could be leading people astray in what the teaching that is being done, or failing to teach the whole counsel of God. So in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, there Paul was thinking about the future of the church. As he was about to die and leave this earth, he wrote to Timothy, he said, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Well, we see that he talks there about they have the ability to teach others, but they are to be faithful men. Spiritual leadership, then, in the preaching of God's Word is is based upon not only the person's teaching, but also their life must be consistent with what they are teaching. And it must be the truth of God's word, because they will answer to God for that. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." God then provided within the church spiritual elders to oversee the flock. And he also provides that there are men, faithful men, who will preach and teach God's word according to the need of hearing in order to be saved, the truth of God's word. But I want to also point out the importance of spiritual leadership in the home, because spiritual leadership really isn't limited to just within the church. It starts out within the home. And we see that in the qualifications of being an elder, that first of all, their home is in order. He's a man who has one wife, and he has a good marriage, and he has his children in subjection to the leadership there. Spiritual leadership then in the home, fathers have a great responsibility. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4, or chapter 6 and verse 4, as Paul writes here, he says, speaking to the fathers, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Later on, as he goes into speaking about the armor of God, he says to all Christians, but that includes the fathers, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Fathers then have a responsibility in the home to be strong in their faith, and to teach our children, to guide them in the way of the Lord. And that's a spiritual leadership that they are to have. A father lives the life of being a Christian and sets the example within his home, takes the lead. I don't think it is right, or God intended, that a husband turns the leadership over to his wife, or places the responsibility on her. The husband is to be the leader within the home. He is to take the spiritual leadership, and he is to be the head of the home in that sense. But it's a loving relationship. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. But there is a leadership that a husband is to have. But also there are women, the worthy woman. You see, she has a spiritual leadership. And the book of Proverbs talks about the importance of the worthy woman, how she handles with wisdom in the household, the responsibilities to the family. And it says here in verse 26 in Proverbs chapter 31, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." So that is a spiritual leadership that women exercise within the home based on their godly character and their ability to love their children and their husbands, and to guide the work within the home of the household. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, when Paul was speaking about younger widows, he said that younger widows should remarry. If they're, say, for example, if their husband dies. Therefore, he says, "I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the household or guide the household. Give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So we can see there is a spiritual leadership that in the home, the father, the mother, and in Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2 or 2 Timothy chapter 2, Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. He says that the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be chaste and discreet and homemakers, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So there again we see spiritual leadership. God is looking to all of us within the church to exercise that. And again, I want to commend the men of the congregation last Sunday, how each of you responded in that situation, because that was a form of leadership that you demonstrated in that. And I thought it was great how the men showed a loving attitude and concern for this individual. And yet it was handled in a firm way, but there was a godly way of handling that to the best of our ability. So that is a spiritual leadership that is being demonstrated in those things that are being done. It's so important for us to see the importance then of spiritual leadership. It's desperately needed at the present time in all walks of life, in the congregation, in the pulpit, in the home, in the family. And when leadership is lacking in any of these areas, there are consequences, tragic consequences that follow. In the nation of Israel, when there were not good elders and leaders, the nation went astray from God. They went away from God because there was not good leadership in the nation of Israel at that time. And we can find that. Ezekiel talks about that the elders, the shepherds, where are the shepherds, he says, that they are not there watching and tending over the flock like they need to be. Therefore, the nation went astray. We need to have strong spiritual leadership in the congregation. We need all of us as Christians to, like Paul is saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, that comes through in your home, in being a father, in being a mother, that when we neglect that, then there are consequences to our children. We are to train up our children in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from them. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 tells us that. All of us then have a responsibility in the way of spiritual leadership, developing a godly character, living a godly example. You do have leadership with people that you come in contact. It's influence, the ability to influence others in the right direction, in the right way that they should go in their life. You don't do it by power. You don't do it by commanding or ordering people. You do it through example. You do it through being a servant and showing through your life that you are going in the right way. And other people then have a respect, and they see that is the way they need to go, and they follow. That's how spiritual leadership works within the home, within the church, even in life, anywhere we look. Spiritual leadership is what helps people to see the right way to go. I've had people that mentored in my life, and as I was a younger man growing up, they took the time to talk with me and help me and show me the right way to be and how I could benefit and how I could grow. So we all look to one another as we develop our skills and our abilities, and we need to use those in helping others to find the right way. So thank you for your attention this morning. Becoming a Christian today, you have the opportunity to do that by coming to Christ and surrendering your life to Him, repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ, confessing your faith in Jesus. We want to extend that invitation and invite you to come today. If you're in any way subject, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.